Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome to Tuesday night's Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, in for Niall Boylan. Thanks to Ruth Scott for the last 2 hours of the best of the 80s and 90s. And she is out and about tomorrow and live on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio from 7 to 9 p.m. for Lights Up Wednesday in Raheny GAA Club as part of the 40-day health challenge from now until February the 14th. But back to tonight, we're going to be asking who is to blame for the response to Storm Eoghan. Susan Smith and Declan Ganley have both been quite vocal on social media for the past few days about the fallout from the storm, and they will be joining me shortly. Later on, we're going to be asking, is having an only child okay? We have a message from a listener who says that she only wants one child. So we're asking, is it fair to have just one child? Later on, we're going to be talking about Google Maps adding the Gulf of America to the Gulf of Mexico after Trump's order. What place names should we change? Is there anywhere we should change here in Ireland? And later on, I'm going to be speaking to Michael Murphy. He's got a new book out which teaches us lessons from the views of number one albums, the managers of number one albums, should I say. We'll be talking to him later on. So first up, who is to blame for the response to Storm Eoghan? Several days since we were hit by the devastating storm, around 147,000 premises remain without power following damage caused by the storm. As further support arrived from Austria and Finland this morning, additional crews from electricity network operators in the Netherlands and France are due over in the coming days, and engineers from England also arrived here over the weekend. We've also received 17 generators from the EU. Meanwhile, 11,500 premises supplied by Ishka Erin remained without water as of lunchtime today, with an estimated 31,000 people affected. There have been calls for the government to reconvene to try to bring some leadership to this situation. So I want anyone that has been affected to get in touch tonight on 087 188 0008. That's the WhatsApp number. And we did touch on the topic last night, and I just want to look a bit more closely at it tonight. Firstly, I'm joined by Susan Smith, who is based just 5 kilometres outside of Ballahadreen in rural Roscommon. She joins me now. Now, this is going to be the tricky part, getting the callers on the line. Just give me 2 seconds there. Susan, are you with us?
I am indeed, AJ.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me tonight. So I was talking to you earlier on. You said that Europe had offered help last Wednesday, but the offer wasn't taken up until Saturday over the weekend. So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, my thoughts on that, the question I would want to ask on that is why the government didn't take the help that was offered last Wednesday. It was clear that we had a red warning in place at that stage, and Europe offered help. They offered to send over generators, and that was actually posted publicly on Twitter earlier on today as well. And nobody actually got back to them until Saturday afternoon.
So why do you think there was such a massive delay in taking up the offer?
To be honest, I have absolutely no answer to that question, but that's what I was hoping to find out, even by coming on to have a chat with yourself this evening, if anybody could shed some light on the fact that the government didn't respond to the offer of help until Saturday afternoon, if they could certainly get in touch, because we're baffled by it.
Yeah.
On day five of no power, no water, no phone signal, no nothing.
Okay.
And we're going into day six.
So you're going into day six tomorrow. Now, I know that you're in quite a rural area. So tell me about your experience. When did you lose power? What's going on with you right now?
We lost power at around 2:30 in the morning, the night of the storm. So the night the storm hit,
so
we lost
Thursday,
power.
Thursday night,
I think
Friday
it was
morning.
Thursday night at 2:30.
Yeah.
So then the following day, obviously, we had no power. And that's to be expected. I mean, the storm is one of the worst we've ever had, and there's no issues there. Day two, day three, that's fine. We just kind of had the super there, had gas stove, and we did what we had to do, basically. But then the water went.
So when did the water go? When was that then?
So the water went on day two. Mm-hmm. Day two, going into day three, the water went completely, and then we didn't have any water. And we just said to ourselves, look, for anybody who lives in rural Ireland, and they know the cold, damp feeling that will come if you've been a couple of days without heat.
Absolutely.
And when the water went, we just said to ourselves, look, we'll have to go to a hotel.
Okay. And are you still in a hotel now?
We certainly are. We drove to Dublin today to just get a taste of what civilization is like again. And just to take our minds off it. And we're actually heading back to the west now, but we're heading back to a hotel.
Okay. Okay. So there's still nothing now at your house. What about your neighbours?
Nothing.
Yeah.
No, my neighbours don't have anything for within a few kilometres. Now, the town of Ballyhadrine got water back today. I just got a message from Ballyhadrine to say they have the water back. But until today, there was a tanker giving out water at the fire station. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, there was a queue for the water.
Of course, yeah, yeah. And, oh, I mean, are there elderly people living in your area?
Yeah.
Like, how are they being affected?
Well, they don't have anything. They've absolutely nothing. Some people have a battery-operated radio, and that's where they're getting their information from, because they don't have a phone signal. They don't have internet. They have no power, and obviously they've no water. And they're just relying on the likes of Midwest Radio to give updates.
Okay, okay. And, I mean, how have the local radio stations been doing? Have they been doing a good job?
They've actually been doing a fantastic... I'm a freelance radio presenter myself,
okay.
And I was actually on air on Saturday in the west of Ireland, and there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people messaging in, just asking for updates on any idea when the power would be back. They couldn't even check powercheck.ie because they didn't have an internet signal.
Yeah.
And so there was panic. There was panic in the west of Ireland.
But I mean, people must be absolutely frozen. They must be absolutely frozen. And it's getting colder tonight. I just heard it there on the weather. It's the temperature is dropping again.
It's horrendous. It's the day after the storm, we woke up. There was no heat, obviously, when the power had gone off at 2:30. So we woke up the next day to snow and ice after the storm.
Jeez.
And you could see your breath. Mm-hmm. Basically in the bedroom, and people say, oh, but sure, you can get a Super Serum. This is great, but I mean, a Super Serum will heat a room.
Yeah, it's like it heats a patch of the room. It will be warm.
A patch of the room is warm, and then you go into another room. But look, I consider myself lucky anyway, but I really, really feel for the elderly, for people who've new babies, for people who have kids out there. I heard a woman speaking earlier, she had 4 children under the age of 5, and they were freezing.
Oh, God. Yeah, what are they doing?
And I mean, think that
anyone that has to make formula or anything like that, it must be an absolute nightmare at the moment. I mean, so is there a lot of, actually, about trees as well? Did you say earlier on that there's still trees down on the roads?
There's still trees on the main road to my house. I live in a village called Lissacull, and the main road to Lissacull from Ballyhadrine, there's a tree still down, and the cable's within the tree.
Right.
And it's still down. You have to drive almost into a person's garden to get around it.
That's mad that it's been that long. I would have thought that all of that was done by now, like all of the clearing on the roads.
Now, I will say one thing for the local people in Ballyhadrine and the people in the area. They did get out with chainsaws and they did as much as they could. There was a significant damage and a significant amount of trees down. Mm-hmm. And they did get out with the chainsaws. But for some reason, this particular tree in Lissacull, and it could be to do with the fact that there's live cables in it.
Of course,
but it's still down.
Yeah, I mean, no one should go near that. But I mean, has it been sort of a wake-up call to realise that, you know, maybe just some things aren't working, like there should have been things put in place before anything happened, like long before anything happened?
Absolutely. I think before anything happened, we should have had generators at water plants. Mm-hmm. And where the water is pumped from, they should absolutely have had generators. I mean, it's basic infrastructure, and we pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we actually, as taxpayers, we pay for this.
Yeah. And it just feels like nothing was in place before this happened. Like, there's always a chance that we could have a storm, especially over the west of Ireland, coming in from the Atlantic.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we lost power the last storm. Well, we lose power most storms, and we were without power for a day. It's generally, it could be 24 hours, it could be 48 hours, but we generally would lose power in most storms.
Yeah. And
so
I mean, that's too long.
Plenty of time.
Yeah.
It's too long.
To be you're losing it for 24 to 48 hours every time there's a storm. It is ridiculous. Like, we touched on this last night. Niall was talking about it last night, and he was saying about burying the electricity cables. And that's something that maybe we should look at doing. He was also talking about nuclear power.
Yeah, that's also an option. The burying of the cables, I did tweet about that, suggesting that there had to be a better way and that we could possibly bury the cables. And I did receive a lengthy DM on X from somebody who worked for the ESB, and they mentioned that they have frequently, now I haven't fact-checked this, but the person said they have frequently suggested burying the cables, and they're met with a heap of objections every time they do.
Okay. I mean, what are the objections? I'm going to look into that. Maybe someone...
So the objections that he pointed out in the lengthy DM was that people didn't want the roadworks. They didn't want anywhere being dug up. Then some people apparently this is a myth, but they said that it's a health hazard, and just numerous objections like that.
Okay. Because I mean,
I think probably the cost factor, that's just in my opinion. But he said they did have objections when it came to digging up and roadworks and stuff like that as well.
Because certainly something needs to be put in place. Because like you say now, when do you think that your power and your water is going to be back where you are?
We have absolutely no idea. We were given an estimate of the 5th of February. And we checked again today and the 5th of February is now gone and it's just saying unknown.
Oh, God. OK, because I mean, even if it was the 5th of February, how many days are we now? We're only on the 28th. So that's
Another 7 days. So you're looking at probably 12 or 13 days without power, water, anything.
And now it's gone to unknown. So if anybody else is having the same issues, do get in touch on WhatsApp. 087-188-0008. So, I mean, what do you think then is the solution moving forward? What do you think? You have been quite vocal, like you said, on social media. So what do you think is the solution here?
Well, I think moving forward, I think people can survive without electricity for a certain amount of time, but absolutely should never be expected to be without water. So I think going forward, generators are essential. Mm-hmm. And I think possibly burying the cables, either burying the cables or cutting down trees around cables.
Yeah, I mean, literally just managing it. I know, again, Niall touched on it last night, where there's diseased trees down in Wicklow. They've actually been chopped down. But maybe that's something that we need to look at doing everywhere, because it's a diseased tree that's going to fall first when there's, you know, when there's high winds and when there's storms and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely needs to be looked at. It obviously there's been nothing put in place. We knew that the storm was coming and nothing's been done. People are calling for the government to reconvene. What do you think about that?
I think the government should absolutely have reconvened the day after the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think the government should have reconvened the day after the storm. I know Micheál Martin came to Castlereagh today, which is only a few minutes from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in fairness to him, he did come today. But it's day five.
Yeah.
It's day five of no power, no water. I'm one of the lucky ones. I mean, of course, I feel very grateful that no damage was done to the house and I could go to a hotel. But I realise as well there's people out there who are living from paycheck to paycheck. And
I mean, the cost involved in staying in a hotel is absolutely massive. And I don't...
It is. It's expensive.
Are they doing any sort of, I don't know, discount or anything to take that into account?
No, I have to say the hotel that we're in is actually, it's quite reasonable, in fairness to them. It's over in Enniscrone.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's an awful lot of people who can't do that. There's some people who can't go and buy a Supercell. We went to buy a Supercell because the one we had was quite toxic. And everywhere was sold out.
Okay.
They were sold out of gas canisters for the camping stoves. They're sold out of candles. It was panic stations in the west of Ireland.
Yeah.
Panic. People were queuing for an hour for hot food.
Mm-hmm. And then just one more thing, just before I go to a break. There has been people that have said, well, you know, what could the government do if they did reconvene? What could they do? What could they have done? And that's a question that people have asked.
They could have accepted the offer of help. They could have, I'm sorry to cut across you
no,
there.
No, don't be silly.
They could have accepted the offer of help that was given by Europe last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. And then
before the storm.
If we had that in place, then you think it would have been a different...
Yeah, because somebody said today the government are reactive. They act after the event. They were offered help. They were offered generators last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had have accepted that offer of help, people wouldn't be on day five now without water.
OK. Thank you so much for that, Susan. I'm going to go to a break now. But best of luck and keep in touch. Let me know. You've got my number there anyway. You can send me a text.
Thanks a million, AJ. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, Susan. Thank you so much. So there you have it. That's Susan there. She's over near Ballinhadreen in rural Roscommon. And she has been without power since Thursday night. And she doesn't know when she's going to get it back. And same with the water. And she's staying in a hotel. And like she said, not everybody can do that. So if you're having terrible experiences like she is, do get in touch. 087-188-0008 is the number. Send us a WhatsApp. I just have to go to a quick break. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hit Radio with myself, AJ Walsh, filling in for Niall Boylan tonight. We're talking about the response to Storm Eowyn, really, and we're asking who is to blame for the response. My next guest is Declan Ganley. Now, he's been quite vocal on social media saying that he thinks that the government should reconvene. I'm going to chat to him now if I can get him on the line. Declan, are you there?
I'm here, AJ. At least I hope I am.
Yeah, no, you're definitely there. Thank you so much, Declan, for taking my call tonight. I'm filling in for Niall tonight, so it's all the technical getting people on and stuff like that I'm a bit sort of dodgy with, but thank you for bearing with.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you so much, Declan. So listen, tell me, you've been quite active on social media. I was reading through some of your tweets or your whatever you call them now on X. Can you just tell me a little bit about why you think that the government should reconvene and why you think that they're at fault for this?
Well, a few things. Well, first of all, they're not at fault for a hurricane, but they are at fault for a lack of preparedness and for the downstream consequences of the policies that they implement, the problems that they have caused for people. So first of all, let me come back to your question. Why do I think that the door should be recalled and should be sitting? It should be recalled because there are a raft of laws and regulations that they passed that have now proven in real time tonight to be causing people to be sitting in the cold in their homes because they do not have heat. They do not have heat because they don't have power. They don't have heat because they have built homes, new homes, without fireplaces, without any solid or liquid fuel heating, because they were incentivized to do so by government regulations. Also, the only stuff that is working down here right now is powered by diesel or petrol. That's it. That's the only thing that's working. That's generator power, people using diesel generators. I have one at my own place here, which I bought more than 20 years ago. I know there are people around in my village that have bought petrol generators in the last few days. There are a few more lights on in this village now than there were over the last few days. Even last night, it was completely dark. And I can see probably about five miles from the window, an upstairs window of my home. There was no light to be seen. There's a few now because people are getting generators and getting them on. So
basically you're saying it's because of the laws and regulations due to the green agenda, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So repeal those laws. We know they did not achieve their objective. China builds more coal power every day than Ireland's ever going to offset with all of the green taxes in the world in this country. Repeal them. They're stupid. People cannot afford to it. Right now, we are hitting people in the dark, cold parts of Ireland tonight with punitive taxes on their home heating oil, on the diesel that's running their generators, on the petrol that's running their generators, for a policy that has proven to have failed. It's not speculative, it's proof. Repeal it. That's something useful that the Dáil could do immediately. The other thing that the Dáil could do, and I know that this is something that the Department of Justice could also do, but the Dáil sitting and debating this, the fact that there are people in homes across rural Ireland tonight who are staying in cold homes, maybe with one turf fire if they're lucky enough to have a fireplace, or with a log fire, and they won't leave, especially older people. They're not going to go to family outside of the area, maybe in other parts of the country where they have power, because they're afraid of their homes being robbed. Because if they have an alarm system, the alarm system doesn't necessarily have mobile connectivity.
Yeah.
The power's gone. The batteries have run out. And I know this. I know this firsthand. There are older, vulnerable people who will not leave their homes because they're afraid that when they come back, their homes are going to be cleaned out. So if we could surge guards into these areas so that there are regular Garda patrols, high-profile patrols, the guards making calls, we should be surging policing into these areas to make sure that they are secure, because there are predators going around. We had one here on just before, a few hours before the storm, around my own place. We took care of it, but there were gangs casing potential targets, because when they know alarms are out, when they know people maybe are going to leave, they're checking out where places,
basically casing the joints,
burgled,
so to
while
speak.
They're away. Which
yeah.
And we should increase sentencing. So, for example, if someone burgles or loots a place during an emergency like this, we should have quadruple the sentence. So, for example, if it's 1 year, it should be 4. If it's 5 years, it should be 20, et cetera, et cetera. So to really send a strong signal to predators that you cannot prey on people ever, but especially
when they're vulnerable,
in times of dire need.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then there's the matter of preparedness, of making sure that the moronic policies that have that crippled our ability to respond, to plan a capable response to this, and then to respond to it in the aftermath. Your previous speaker there was talking about the fact that these generators hadn't been deployed. I was at the inauguration in Washington a week ago yesterday. I flew from there to Germany, to my office in Munich. And I was supposed to be in Munich for days. I could see the weather forecast. I thought, I've got to get back. I took the last flight out of Munich on Thursday night. I got down to the west of Ireland and 1 hour and 45 minutes before the storm hit. But while I was doing that, I made sure the generator was working. I made sure I got thousands of liters.
So you prepared, you planned ahead. You planned.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm just one guy. I mean, the government that are elected to take care of security and basic services in this country, if you cannot do that, what are you for? And they have failed. And they're not putting their hands up and saying that they failed. They're BSing their way through this and trying to make like, oh, well, you know, it's a once in a lifetime event. Once in a generation event, et cetera, et cetera.
But the truth is, it's not a once in a generation event, because the thing is, we have these storms constantly. And like I was talking to Susan there before the break, she's saying that every time there's a storm, they lose power for 24 to 48 hours. So it is something that is continually happening, and nothing's been done and nothing's been prepared.
There was about a decade, I was talking to some of my neighbours here, the farmers around here, over the last
whereabouts
few days
are you, Declan? Whereabouts?
I'm in the village of Abbeynock Moy, County Galway. It's basically
Galway.
Between Tuam and Athenry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one of the dark areas of Ireland tonight. We continue to have no power here. The reason I can speak to you is that we're running off generator power.
Yeah.
Here at my place, but there's no power in this part of Ireland, and that's where I'm speaking to you from. But this. You know, the copper, and you're exactly right. We've had so many storms. And by the way, the grid, talking to my neighbors, as I was saying, especially the farmers around here, maybe 10 years ago, we had really good electricity supply. So we had we never had blackouts. When I first came to this village, I grew up in my teens in near Glenamaddy, which is about 15 miles from here. But I came here first in 1995, the end of 1995, and there was the odd blackout in the late 90s. Then it got very, very good, very reliable electricity supply for more than a decade. And now over the last 5 or 6 years, you will have an outage or, you know, like a surge, or the power will go out even for a minute and then come back on. The electricity supply has got much less reliable. It's the kind of thing that burns out computers. If you've got sensitive electronic devices, you have to put fittings into your home or your office.
So this is something that you're noticing all the time with the electricity supply now, as opposed to back in the 90s. Okay, and why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know. Okay. I actually don't. I must find out.
Yeah.
But I mean, what I'm saying is, aside from the fact that we're wiped out now completely with electricity since Thursday night, Friday morning, even at the best of times, the service has been ropey in recent years with an increasing number of outages. And now, of course, we've got the ultimate, which is this third world. In fact, it's not even third world, because in the third world, they'd have out running faster than this. This farcical situation where we still don't have power this many days after this storm hit.
Okay. And for you, do you know when your power, and do you have water as well, or is that gone too?
We didn't have water. Again, I have my own water supply at the house, luckily enough to have years ago put wells in, but the local water scheme supplies are back on because they got they brought in generators yesterday and put them on the local water supply. So they brought them back up, but they were down prior to that.
And when do you think that your power is coming back? Have you been given a date?
They're saying the 5th of February at the moment, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's what is being said. But you know, to come back to your sort of opening point, why should the door sit? First of all, because this government's brand new, but it's mostly made up of the previous government. Their policies have failed, and there is a spectacular, and they should be embarrassed by the grandiose nature of how obvious their failure is. So get in there and repeal all of those moronic adolescent activist laws that you passed that have put people in an even more difficult situation than they're already in. And secondly, get your hands out of our pockets, government, right now, and repeal those taxes, those carbon taxes that you're putting on the only fuels that are working, that we're having to get ourselves, that you're not helping us with, except slapping more taxes on it and taxing people in the hardest hit parts of Ireland. They could repeal those laws tomorrow and those green taxes tomorrow if they sat their asses in the door and got to work and did what they were elected to do.
Strong words there, Declan. Thank you so much for coming on. So basically, you are saying to come back and they could do all of those things that you said if they just got back in there. And you think that they could do,
yes,
that is something that they could just
do. Get to work like the rest of us. I was out with the chain. I run an international communications satellite telecommunications business. And I spent most of my day on a chainsaw today cutting trees out of the blocking local roads here because they... Because that's what you do. They can get back to work. They don't need to be on holiday, and they can actually be seen to be doing something to undo the mess that they helped create, which was not the weather event itself, but it was the lack of preparedness for it, and even more so the downstream consequences that have created more hardship for people because of policies that they put in place before this storm ever hit.
That's lovely. Thank you so much for that, Declan. I have to go to Jerry now. Jerry, you join me on. I'll get you on the line now, hopefully. Hiya, Jerry. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. How are you?
Hiya, Jerry. How are you doing? So you say the Minister for the Environment is to blame.
Well, come here. You can't blame anybody particularly for nature. It is nature, and that's what the storm was.
Yeah.
But at the same time, preparedness. There was plenty of warnings.
This is the word that keeps coming up, preparedness. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it went back as far as Monday or Tuesday, as I first saw in the weather forecast that they were talking about a storm out in the Atlantic that was going to be very severe. And as it got nearer to Thursday night, it became more evident that was a red warning and stay in, it's going to be really bad. You can't stop a lot of the damage that was done, like to roofs and to buildings, to trees coming down, that sort of thing. But you can put in place, as you said, the likes of generators and, you know, keep the water running, keep the phone networks running. It's not rocket science to put a generator in beside any of those buildings. These are standalone buildings.
This is what the previous two callers were saying, that the generators were offered last week, but we didn't accept them until during the weekend at some point. So we had a stretch of time where we didn't have the generators in the country. They've only just arrived.
Yeah, that's no good. That's absolutely no good. You know, this is a once in a lifetime event. Now, hopefully there won't be more of them coming along the way. There seems to be a pattern at the moment. But, you know, this was a once-in-a-lifetime, a red warning for the whole country. I've never seen that, heard that before.
Yeah, it was a lot of counties, and I think that's why it's been so difficult, because it is so widespread throughout the country, whereas usually it would just be the couple of counties on the west, on the right, on the Atlantic. But now, I mean, it's even spread inland. It's not just the coastal counties.
My next door neighbour had a lovely shed he put down last summer, bolted to the ground, a nice big shed for his lawnmower and all his toys and have you. And the door must have swung open during the night. The wind caught it. I have it on camera from my CCTV.
Oh, God.
It was sailing up in the air like a kite.
Okay. And where was this? This was in Dublin?
This is in Dublin. I'm in Colestor in Dublin, suburbia.
Oh, my God.
You know, the thing is, if it landed on a person or a car or somebody's house, it was blessed that it actually landed on a flower bed in a neighbor's back garden. We have big back gardens here. And, you know, but to see it happening, I'd never seen anything like it. It was like an animation. That's the best way to describe it. It's like somebody drew shed and had it floating around the place.
Yeah, I get you.
Literally dancing in the wind for a couple of seconds before it came down.
Madness.
And when it came
down,
it just imploded. Everything just fell apart on it. You know.
I mean, you don't expect this in Dublin, do you? You know, when the warnings were so strong for the west of the country, you didn't expect it to be quite so strong, I suppose, on the east coast. You know.
No. But you know, this, as they once, it was a once in a lifetime. But it's just unprecedented. I think it got strength as it came inland. That's unusual. Most storms form at sea from the heat of the water. This actually got strength from the land, and that's extremely unusual, which made it more aggressive. As it came across Ireland, it picked up speed, it picked up energy. And I said, that's how a lot of the damage was done. The gusts, I think, were recorded at 180
miles an hour. That's what I read. Stay with me there, Gerry. I'm going to have to go to the ads and I will be back with you there in a second. I think most people agree that the issue is preparedness or lack of preparedness from the government. And that's what's causing such great issues. You've heard there from my first caller. She has now got no idea when her power is going to be back. And Declan is expecting his power to be back on the 5th of February. But luckily he has a generator. He's calling for the government to come back and repeal all the laws and regulations that they have proven to fail. I'm going to go to a quick ad break and I'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Tuesday night's Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, in for Niall Boylan. We're talking about who is to blame for the response to Storm Io, and not obviously who's to blame for the storm, but who's to blame for the response. What keeps coming up is a lack of preparedness, and one of our callers has said that he believes that the Dáil should reconvene and come back and repeal the laws and regulations that have been taken from the green agenda in the government. I'm going to go to Andrew now. Andrew, you're saying that the reactive, not proactive government is to blame.
Yes, hi AJ. I agree with Declan and also I listened to the lady from Balnadreen and just the previous caller.
Susan, everyone's saying the same thing. So yeah, you agree with all of them.
I do. I definitely don't disagree. I'm in Galway, I'm in Oranmore, and we lost power on the night of, now half of the Oranmore village, which is just on the outskirts of the Galway city, it got what you call the scorpion tail of the storm, just like it happened in 2023 November with Debbie. And the village on the outskirts of the city all lost power by 6 a.m. Half of it got back up for about 10 hours and then went down again. And it's back up now again. But the other half still has no power, which is in the catchment near Athenry. And so that was about over the weekend, 3 days, when the news wasn't really filtering out enough. And then we had a text from the ESB saying, expect the 27th. And then we've had another text now saying the 30th. So they're already rolling it back. Across Galway, like in Tuam, Athenry, Clarenbridge, Ardrahan, either water is out or power. The 5th of February text has gone out everywhere.
It seems to be across the board, 5th of February. Everybody's getting the same text.
Yeah, which is atrocious because it is a problem of reactive, not proactive governance. And that's over 2 decades. It's the same 2 parties, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. And again, this is yet another example of the stupidity of voting them in. They're the ones that managed to draft bills like the development bill in the last decade or two. And so was it Declan or somebody else was complaining about, or maybe you mentioned it, constant objections, for example, for the the cables under the ground.
That was Susan.
Susan. Okay, so the constant objections are allowed also through the development bill as well and judicial review, and these different mechanisms, instruments and provisions are put in that bill. And we have a serious cultural problem in this country that everybody is objecting to any development and they don't want anything to obstruct the roadwork, etc. But it has to happen. It has to happen. There's a provision in the Constitution for the common good. Nobody's ever taken it up, but they should. Is it not within the common good to for the collective to people have to suffer roadworks for a few years versus then we have sustainable, resilient, anti-fragile electric infrastructure? Because these storms
I think it's going to have to happen because we can't continuously go through things like this. We can't constantly have certain counties on the west of Ireland not having power for 24 to 48 hours just because there's a bit of a storm. You know, so what you're saying for the provision for the common good, it's going to have to be taken up and they're going to have to do something.
Well, we say that, but that has not. Look how there's cultural degradation and corruption in this country in a political level, in that certain things don't want to be touched or teased because that opens the door. And this is going to be a continuing problem because we've seen a trend of stronger storms in the last, as I live in Galway, born in Galway, raised in Galway, 36 months. Okay, Debbie took out the coastwalk in Oranmore, like obliterated seawall, right? And that's down near Galway Bay Golf Course. And it'll take years because we are so slow. We've we're obviously Ireland, but we're in an Anglo-centric country in terms of building and infrastructure, and we're so slow compared to mainland Europe. And we could change that by having proper bills in place. But this development bill, which has gone through different, it's there for interests of landowners, and it's there for the interests of house owners. And the problem with that is nothing then for the collective is built, and everybody can object. Why couldn't we put in cables? And these two parties are still in power, and everybody who voted them in again are morons, sorry to say, because they had that bill put in place. No infrastructure's been put in that's anti-fragile against weather systems, which are increasing. Science says so. The science says so. Mm-hmm. And the West is battered, while the East, for example, Leinster, they're not going to have a storm in the Irish Sea. They're not going to have one like that. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen for a bunch of reasons. But the Western side is battered continuously. Is there not a cause for common good to put down the cables? It doesn't matter if people object. It has to happen. Otherwise, you're going to have increasing power outs. And people, I know, they're in Oranmore Lodge Hotel. They're going into hotels. You have elderly people having to leave their homes. I met people in Galway City because for the last, I can't, so all my food is gone. Freezer's gone. Food is gone. Didn't have water either. I'm five nights now without power. Every night I just put on the fire because I got a furnace put in. That's all I have because the rest of the house is all electrical heating. Mm-hmm. And I asked my landlord to put in a furnace. So I met people in town in Galway City who had to come in because they said, well, ever since 2024, the houses are all A3 or whatever, but there's no, a lot of them are required not to have any sort of
if they're A3 rating, exactly. Yeah.
So everything's electric.
Yeah.
So they're in town all day. The amount of people, Galway's already amongst the top five ten most congested, you can fact check me, but it's in the top 10 or so most congested cities in Europe because, again, poor planning. And you have people coming in every day from all the catchment towns because they have no electricity, Tuam, etc. And these people were there because they said, well, we have no electricity. We have to come in all day. Equally, I'm a remote worker.
So how are you managing with that?
This is another thing. Can I take up a case? I have a right to work. I have no power. I have had no power for 5 days.
And how are you managing to work?
I'm not managing.
Okay.
I'm not managing because the cafe in Oranmore, for example, can be thronged. They've also had a power outage once or twice. So they have to go into town. So you have to go through even more traffic, more arduous traffic than usual, and find a place. Right? Is that not actually? Again, you can't blame for the storm, but you can blame for the preparedness, the foresight, the political will, the vision, which has never been there. It has never been there. Not in two decades has it ever been there. And if I have a right to work, is that not being impinged now because there could be resilience built into the system and there hasn't been? Where's the money? Where's the infrastructure? Why can't we build anything? Because we have donkeys leading us and they keep feeding us lies all the time. It doesn't change. It won't change because there's this inbred idea, I voted Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael. It's in my blood. My father did it. My father's father did it. It's so stupid.
I hear what you're saying. I just want to ask just Jerry there, have you been listening to what Andrew's saying? What do you think just in relation to saying that, you know, provision for the common good should be taken into account?
Yeah, I think AJ, he does make a lot of sense, Andrew. In terms of, you know, infrastructure, there shouldn't be the process that's required for planning for certain must-have infrastructure. They give.
There should be a different process altogether.
Yeah, there should be a different. It should be like they get fast-tracked to the strategic housing thing there a number of years ago, and they built units all around the place with no regard for anybody's, you know, looks or privacy. Mm-hmm. That's been stopped. But like the likes of windmills and water treatment centres, that sort of infrastructure should not be required to have the same planning as somebody putting up an extension to their back garden.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous the way the whole process is. And Andrew's right about the constant governments. They don't change. Nothing changes. It's been the same since 1922. The two parties are in power. The difficulty is we don't have much choices. You know, we have the same old all the time. I'm sure in Sinn Féin and the independents, if they got together, maybe things will change. I don't know that. But it seems to be people have a total apathy when they're voting. Some people don't bother voting. I think the count last time was 40%, which is pathetic, really.
Yes, I think it was around that,
Has a democratic right to vote.
Yeah.
But people are just kind of fed up. People jump in the car every day because the bus is late or the bus doesn't come or they want you to cycle and it's pissing rain like it was this morning. You know, they jump into the car and you can't blame people. But like I live in Dublin and it's getting progressively worse. The M50 is just a car park from 7 in the morning to 10 in the morning and then it starts again at 3 o'clock. It's just relentless.
Yeah.
And I really feel sorry for anybody that has to commute on a daily basis. But, you know, definitely we need to change the laws to have, you know, important infrastructure. Not planning free, but not to go through the whole rigmarole, all the hoops and loops.
Yeah.
That the other planning applications have to go through.
Yeah.
It needs to be fast-tracked on. And it needs to be... What annoys me about the Irish system is each government that comes in changes things. You know, like, for example, years ago we had Fianna Gael were in power. The Dart got its green light. But when Fianna Fáil came into power years later, they nearly wanted to take it out again.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, instead of having a Minister for Transport that doesn't change, he's not even a minister, he's a person for transport, a person for infrastructure.
Yeah, I get you. Rather than changing
Yes, doesn't change with politics. He's there all the time. He's given a job for life to get things rolling, to get things moving again. But that doesn't exist. As I say, when different political parties come into power, things change.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Trump. Trump, you know, did a load of signing there last week to get rid of the things that Biden brought in, that Obama brought in. You know, this shouldn't happen. I know they're democratically elected and they're given a right to do these things, but it's crazy when they undo the good that's been done in the swipe of a pen. And we're not much better here, as I say, with our governments, unfortunately.
So, Andrew, what do you think of that? Do you think that if we changed it so that things that were for the common good, they didn't have to go through the same processes as somebody, like Jerry said, putting an extension on their house?
Yeah, I was just going to say, because, for example, this is a perfect, this is a great forum for, like, Jerry's in Dublin in the east, so he's in the metropole, and I'm in the west, which is like the small city in Galway. But, like, the two more problems with that, just aside from the common good, which I'll just return to one second, is that, like, these imbeciles, right, they make uniform policies, something that applies to Dublin, such as these green policies, like buses, etc., and we've heard countless times in smaller cities they don't work the same and there shouldn't be uniform application, there should be different things. There's no infrastructure, like you have certain, I don't know, trying to get more buses for Galway City is a nightmare. It's a nightmare because they're trying to forever figure out can they bypass, create this bypass or not.
It's one of the most congested cities, you said a few minutes ago.
You can be fact checking, but I've read because we've heard about this because I was just not long.
Because certainly Dublin is as well. So I mean, we're really up there, aren't we, with the most congested cities?
But honestly, it's more. There's a recent study in Europe, and I got to see a study when I was just out of doing a law degree in Galway University, and it was a study given to the council years ago about the traffic flow in Galway, for example. Okay, I don't want to go on a tangent about this, but basically, what they would do is the bypass was and how much traffic went back and forth over Lough Carb and versus bringing in a transit system, and that because there's just not a good application of policy nationally, Dublin versus the other regional cities.
Mm-hmm.
And another problem with that is we have this strange phenomenon that instead of going into massive opposition blocks or Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, people become independents. Independents have no ability to steer national policy in any coherent manner. It's just a supercharged local councillor position. It's local politics and parochial politics. Michael D. Higgins wrote an article on this years ago, which is saying a huge problem with Irish TDs is that 30% of them spend so much time in their local offices that they act like supercharged local councillors. Again, no uniform policy. And somebody needs to challenge the government, and nobody has done, I don't know why, under the Constitution, for the common good. And when they win, that'll open the floodgates because there is an argument to be made for the common good, you know, and also about equity within law. And nobody is challenging because somebody isn't brave enough to do it yet. And the same could have been said for housing. the applications though of like the greens and the some of the policies. And
you heard that's from I think that's the policies that are people. Causing the major issues now is the green policies from
they don't put in I'm sorry to say, and I mean it's with a generalization I'm saying it, but they're not uniformly applicable, and there's no again foresight about what works in Dublin and Dublin-centric, because there's infrastructure there. It's a metropole. It has a train system and a tram system versus Limerick, Waterford, Cork, Galway, and regional, like the northwest area, which is very spread apart. And so there should be different incentives. There should be a loosening on tax. You either put in all the electric infrastructure or you shut up about electric cars. And they're not doing it. They're not doing it. They're just doing virtue signaling things. And coming back to this, they... said, oh, look, we warned about the storm. Okay, why didn't you have the army out? Why didn't you ask for generators? What is with like not reconvening the Dáil? Micheál Martin doesn't like to be talked to or spoken to somebody who's actually irate. Why are they on holiday? Why are they on holiday? Why aren't they reconvening?
Well, this is what we were saying at the start of the evening. But what could they do if they reconvened now? What could they do right now if they reconvened right now? What difference could they make right now? Because other people are saying, what difference could they make if they went back?
They could call in the army. They could call in the army to go out and cut all the trees that are diseased. I'm all for re-treeing the island, but not diseased trees. And it has to, again, be good policy to remove them from all the fault lines. They could have the army go out and do all sorts of maintenance and be with the crews. They could also actually quickly put in provisions, repeal the stupid policies, say, okay, we need to redo the development plan again. We have to just go, okay, we'll put in the cable lines in the west of Ireland underground, and we have to undo the mechanism that everybody can object. We have to bring in maybe rural generators. There's so much. We have all these funds, and these people are sick. They have no political will. They have no insight. They have no vision. And they haven't had it for 20 years. They just keep saving and saving. They don't put it towards the Sovereign Wealth Fund. They are inept. They are inept. And we're so apathetic. There's so many people that are educated on this country, myself one of them. And I'm so apathetic. I could do a better job than half of them. But I'm apathetic because the cultural insanity around it and the nepotism and just the same stupid talking points come up about how you get in and vote. Instead of actual vision, and you have to be, you have to know somebody. And, oh, my father's father voted for you. My father's father's father voted for you, and that takes hold. What are we going to do? And these storms they'll keep coming back to the west of Ireland.
That's the thing. I think the storms will keep coming back. Andrew, I'm going to have to go back to Jerry. Jerry, I've only got a minute left. Have you anything else that you'd like to add?
On the footnote, AJ.
Yeah.
I think, you know, some of the government coming back into the Dáil at the moment.
Yeah.
They would be seen to be doing something for the people that are so stricken by this storm.
For sure.
They'd be, you know, they could, that would be a big boost. They could also pass some legislation that all these water treatment plants have a standby generator there all the time. It's vital infrastructure. There's standby generators in the data centers, which don't hardly need them. But the power goes, those data centers keep running on an uninterrupted power supply. But, you know, the likes of the water treatment centers need that.
Yeah.
They need something to back them up.
Yeah. So and there is stuff that they could do straight away, is what you're saying,
They could go into the Dáil now this week and start passing legislation to change the faults that have existed in since the storm arrived.
That's lovely.
That's what they need to do.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Thank you, Jerry. I'm going to have to go to the news now. Thanks for everybody for getting in touch. I think we will continue on this topic after the news. So if you do want to get in touch about it, you can WhatsApp 087 188 0008. My name is AJ Walsh. I'm in for Niall Boylan tonight on Nighttime Talk, and I'm just going to go to the news. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan tonight. As you heard there on the weather, it's going to get cold again tonight. The temperature is dropping, so I do feel for anybody that is without power, heating and water tonight. We've been talking about who is to blame for the response to Storm Éowyn. We've had lots of people on already saying that they think that the government should reconvene. And I've got Mike on the line who says it's ridiculous blaming the government. So, Mike, tell me a little bit more about that, if I have you there. There
Adrian,
you are.
Adrian, I'm speaking to you.
Hi, yeah, it's me, AJ. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hi. Nice to speak to you.
Andrew.
Adrian, like, in all fairness, blaming the government, what the hell are they doing? Like, as I said, there's no rocket science in it. They're not going to the moon. They're not doing open heart surgery. They're not doing brain surgery. It's the people in Irish water that should be sacked for their incompetence. The people in ESP, in Electric Ireland, like, they're long enough at that now. We've had, this is no first time we've had, you know. And to think that there isn't generators available for, to supply water, Irish water, that's ridiculous. And blaming the government.
I think that people are just blaming the government for not being prepared. That's the word that kept coming up, preparedness, rather than blaming the government for anything, you know, afterwards. But they're just saying now that maybe if they reconvened, they could go back in and they could start repealing some of these laws and try and actually set things on track to get things set up better, you know, and get people's power back. How are you? Have you lost your power, or are you okay? How were you affected?
No, I bought a generator.
Okay.
I have my own generator. I had the generator for other thing, but you know, it's I do a bit of outside catering, and I use the generator for running. So I have a generator to run the house. But our power was back. We were not a power for a long time at all. But like the whole thing, like. The whole thing has gone so wrong. What I think what should be happening with the country today is we should be going back to the way our grandparents done things. Like, look at these people with all these big mortgages, these big houses now, with air to water and water and all this thing. And they're frozen cold inside their houses. Where if you had an open fire, you can light it, put on a fire and put your ass up to the fire and warm you, like.
I think, you know? The thing is in these new houses, they're not meant to have open fires because of policies that were put in place.
I know that. But go back to be self-sufficient, that you're not dependent on nobody, that you can have your own little environment, like the way they do things in Germany. Like, that's the way they do things in Germany. They're kind of self-sufficient and, they're with food and all that.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody would disagree with you, Mike. I think everybody agrees that, yeah, we should be able to be, and we should be able to use, you know, have open fires and be able to keep ourselves warm other ways other than relying on electricity. And being so reliant on electricity has led to the situation that a lot of people are in now, and they don't know when their power is going to be back. Some people are being told the 5th of February. Other people are being told to be confirmed.
And to be confirmed, right, Adrian. And the other thing, then, look, if ever anything happened with this oil, coming from Russia or anything like that, if there's, you know, them houses are going to be void, like. They're not going to be livable because they want of oil to run these generators, to run these... that generates electricity, right? And to think, Adrian, there was a brand new solid tough machine generating station in Offaly, disassembled and sold and brought out. I know, was it Poland or was it Lithuania, and set up outside there and they're burning tough. And like, look, and they're bringing briquettes in from somewhere else. They're bringing timber in from Brazil to burn in these generating stations. Just talk about a load of codswallop, you know.
Yeah.
And sorry, no, look, maybe I'm ranting. Am I off the track altogether? But look, that's the way. Like, there's no.
No, you're making a valid point. You're making a valid point. Go ahead.
The people in the ESP, Ginny, like, they're responsible. But isn't the government that's responsible? And I'm not backing up the government, like, but, you know. It's like in any small business, like, it's not going to be in the government. Like, it's the people running the business that's responsible for it. And like, if you're going into a butcher shop, if you're going into a bakery, if they don't give you what you want, you won't go back in there. But to see, you have DSB there, and their directors are so well paid and all that, and their wages will still be there next Friday. Like, they don't give a damn. And it took them until now to ask for help. Why should the government have to ask for help from England or for wherever all these ESP crews are coming in from? Should have been on the thing last Saturday morning, asking for these crews to come into Ireland.
Yeah, this is what people are saying. It should have all just happened earlier, and it's all just a little bit too late.
It's the ESB that should have done that. That shouldn't be up to the government. Okay, right, somebody made a point there about the army, that they should have been brought in. But, you know, I don't know who would that decision be down to. Like, but that's, it's, one phone call should have had the army put out to cut the trees and clean up. and help the old people that are in need, like. But you know, and you see, but there's so much bureaucracy, Adrian. There's so much bureaucracy and health and safety and all that, like. And what is this? This is all ticking boxes. This is getting away from reality, you know. If you the box is ticked, you're fine, but that's not going to solve the problem on the ground.
I get you.
Like,
I get you.
Like any person there. Like, this health and safety has gone over the TTT altogether. That it's over the top completely, like, and because nobody contractor goes out. I had a safety pass card there, okay, and, like, I'm nearly retired now, but a guy asked me to give him a hand. I said, yeah, I had a safety, but my safety pass card was out with 6 months,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't help him out, and he was badly stuck because I didn't have a safety pass.
He was out of date. I understand. You know. Just bear with me there, Mike. I'm going to go to William there. William, you're saying that county councils should be funded more to remove old trees and poles, which is definitely something we've mentioned before.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the guy that was on there for More and More touched on it as well,
yeah.
about the removal of diseased trees. And
yeah.
like, look, on the ground out here in the west of Ireland, you know, and I know people are calling for the army and making suggestions and so on, you know, to be actioned and all that. But, like, we have armies of people in our communities all across, not just the west of Ireland, in every province, in every county. We've, like, Irish people, you cannot ask for better people to go out, you know, at times of a national disaster or whatever, and help each other and work with neighbours and so on. Even if you haven't talked for 25 years or something, or you've fallen out, you'll lift a tree off the road together. That's just the way we are. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, to be better prepared, let's be pragmatic about it. Like, I know people are calling there for, you know, changes to legislation and massive infrastructural change about putting cables down underground, which sounds fantastic. But, like, the reality is the next massive storm is going to probably come within the next 12 months. Imagine, like, what
so
next
what can
winter
we do? How can
like.
We be pragmatic? What can we do?
Well, what I mentioned, I suppose, I think we need to empower our county councils better. We need
yeah.
to, and the previous speaker talked about bureaucracy and red tape, and he's dead right. Like, in so many facets of what county councils can provide, we need to cut through red tape. We need to, because I suppose there's landowners in rural Ireland, you know, that are squabbling with county council saying, well, those trees belong to the council and they belong to the landowner, or what's the story? And look, just get rid of all these dead trees. They have to go. And like, the amount of electricity pole or telegraph poles that are still existing, I don't know what constitutes a telegraph pole having to be replaced. You
yeah.
can drive through roads in County Roscommon and Mayo and Sligo, and the poles pre-storm are caving in on top of the road or caving in
sure,
on top of the
field. Sure, what hope do
they have
of
staying
up?
What hope exactly.
yeah.
Like, and another caller mentioned about wires tangled up in trees and the ESB crews won't go to them and so on. And I totally understand that. But why not beat the storm? Why not, like what I was saying, is go county
I think
by
that
county.
They weren't saying that it wasn't the ESB crews. It was just that there was regular people going out and picking up trees. And the reason that tree wasn't picked up by regular people was because there's wires in it. I think that's what
yes,
she was saying.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
Well, 100%. I totally understand. What I'm saying is it shouldn't have come to that point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That, like, an inventory should have been done by the whatever municipal district in whatever county you are.
Yeah,
by
that's
your
sensible. That's
crew.
A sensible plan, exactly. And, you know, so that you can look after your own small area. So each county council has the power
yeah.
to go and do that, and maybe the instruction to go and do that. But, I mean,
yes.
do you think that that's something that they could start doing now and then be prepared maybe if this is going to happen again within the next 12 months?
Well, absolutely. But somebody has to take action and actually implement this and, you know, get it going, get the funding towards, you know. Like, look at the national broadband network, you know, because this is where I don't believe in this, putting the cables underground, because how long is that going to take? 30 years, 40 years?
I don't know.
It's not, like, that's not feasible, right, for an island like ours, because financially and actually implementing the plan and having the skilled workforce to do it. You know, the national broadband network has been an absolute disaster in rural Ireland. I won't even get into it, but it's just insane, like, how that's been attempted to be rolled out. Total incompetence with it, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, from the top down, the government have a responsibility. the ESB Electric Ireland have a responsibility. All of these stakeholders from the top down have a responsibility to fund the people on the ground appropriately. Like county council crews, imagine working for the county council over the weekend. Imagine being a family man or woman be working for the council all weekend, round the clock and going home, probably to your family that are in darkness and destitute. I'm a chairman of a local GA club in County Mayo, and we opened our doors Sunday afternoon when we got power and water on. And the families that came in, I'm not joking you, it was so upsetting because mentioned here tonight, people going from paycheck to paycheck, paycheck to paycheck. And people were coming into us who have nothing. Families with three children under the age of eight, bored to tears, children with additional needs. I mean, just horrific. I won't even go into the detail. I mean,
I don't know how they're coping. Yeah.
You know, and you look at the response hubs that county councils have put up, which is great. It's information on where you can go to have a shower, boil the kettle, charge your phone, etc., etc. You look at them. They're GA clubs, community centres. They're the community people on the ground. Fund us more. Stop wrapping everybody up in red tape and bureaucracy and telling us if you can put a chimney in your house or not. Mayo County Council is one of the worst county councils in Ireland for planning permission regulations. It's absolutely like ridiculous, insane. And here we are. I have to agree with everybody that said about the fossil fuels. That's what we have to turn back to. Yeah. What Ireland will do in terms of carbon footprint and all of this conversation about climate change and so on, we are microscopic on the global scale of things when we should be looking after our people, the health and well-being of people, not just their physical being, but their mental state that they're in after that they're going through right now tonight. I know families who are sitting in the dark with a box of matches. It's that is the truth. You know, you heard the numbers on the news there.
Yeah, 147,000. What are we at now? 147,000 homes without power. Yeah, and then 11,500 without water. 11,500 premises. Yeah.
So if you're sitting in a home tonight in Ireland as an elected public representative, do you not have a conscience? I don't care about going back into the Dáil tomorrow. Never mind that.
Yeah.
That's nonsense. Like, I do know of some elected public representatives who are reaching out to people, who are reaching out to their constituents, you know, but we need to hear more of what they're going to do for the next impact, for the next big storm, you know. That's what we need, clear action to happen, you know. I don't believe in this, get them back into the Dáil. That's all just noise, this 2 weeks off holiday. They'd be as well off not talking about that on the news at all. They'd be as well off talking to the families who are hurting tonight. You know, this doesn't need to be a fight. We just need to see action. 147,000 people. Like, let that wash over you for a minute. Like,
no, 100%. Stay with me there, William. Speaking of people's stories, I've got Yvonne on the line, and she says that an electricity pole has fallen into her garden and the ESB won't remove it even after she has phoned them and explained. Hi, Yvonne. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. So where are you based then? Are you over the west or...?
Yeah, we're in Galway. In Dunmore.
Okay. And tell me what's going on with you.
Right. What's happened is the electricity pole that was in my garden fell down and it's literally 5 metres away from my front door.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And the wire is going across my driveway. I've phoned the ESB. They've said, stay 10 metres away from it. How can I stay 10 metres away from it when it's 5 metres away from my door?
Oh, my gosh. So what are you doing? I mean, it's in your way.
We literally have to drive underneath the electricity wires and pole to get out of our driveway to go and get food.
Okay. That's clearly not safe at all.
No, it's not safe because all the wires are still connected. And, well, what are we supposed to do? I've phoned them twice. They said, send emails, send pictures. I can't send a picture because I've got no internet connection. I've managed to send the pictures to my daughter who lives in England. She has emailed them, sent them the pictures, Still no contact.
Okay.
No one has been anywhere near my
house. I understand they've got a lot on at the moment. Like, I do understand.
No, I do understand that as well. And don't get me wrong, I'm not expecting my electricity to be up and running, but I expect them to come and remove the wires away from my house.
Yeah, for sure. And so obviously you are without power. Have you been without power since Thursday night?
Yep.
Yeah. And do you did you get the text to say the 5th of February or?
I can't even access the internet. So okay. I don't know. I'm not getting no texts at all.
Okay. Okay. See, that's the thing as well. People are getting text messages then. Others aren't because you don't have any signal. You don't have any Wi-Fi. You've no electrics. I'm going to have to go to a break. Both of you stay with me there. If you want to get in touch, 087-188-0008 is the number. If you've been affected by Storm Ioan or if you have any ideas on how we can be more prepared for the next storm. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan. I was just talking to Yvonne. She has an electricity pole that's fallen into her garden and she's saying that the ESB won't remove it even after phoning them. Now, you've said that you had to send the photo to your daughter in the UK to be able to send them the photo of the pole in your garden and it's still not been removed. So has that been there since Thursday night?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's quite some time. And have you had any sort of inkling as to when they might be there to...
No, nothing.
Okay.
No. To be fair, one of the Galway County Council guys were there removing trees and I explained it to him and he come and had a look, but they can't remove it because
no,
it's ESB.
Yeah, it's a live wire.
And he went, it's so dangerous, he went, you're just going to have to drive as far away from the wire as possible.
And do you have kids, Yvonne, or...
Sorry?
Do you have children in the house, or...?
I've got a 15-year-old, yeah.
Okay, well, there at least you can say to the 15-year-old, stay away from it.
Yeah.
So you have, do you think that your local council have been doing a good job in dealing with this? Like you said, that you saw one of the county councillors outside your house.
Yeah, but I have not seen one ESB van around here.
Mm-hmm. So I'll go back to William there. So William, Yvonne is saying that she's been seeing county councillors around, but she hasn't seen anybody from the ESB and she does have a pole in her house. And when you first came on, you were talking about the poles, the electricity poles and how they should be removed, really, the old poles. And there's one in Yvonne's garden.
Yes,
yeah, and
it's literally 5 metres away from my front door.
Okay.
What am I supposed to do?
Sorry, William, go ahead there.
Well, I'd just love to know who's taking accountability for these telegraph poles, you know. There doesn't seem to be any messaging on it at all from ESB and everything. And I suppose we don't want to be too critical of the crews because we know that the ground workers obviously are doing all they can, you know, out there. But I think it's, again, going from the top level down. Like, is there an infrastructure inventory taken of electricity poles in the country and cable and so on? I don't believe there is. I really don't.
I have been here. I've lived in my house for 23 years and no one has come and checked this pole. The pole is absolutely red rotten. That's why it broke.
Oh, so you're saying you actually knew that it was rotten before? You could see that it was rotten before?
Well, no, it's only when it's broke.
I get you.
See
it's
absolutely red rotting inside.
Yeah.
And no one's come around and checked to see what state the poles are in.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think it's simply a case of until a pole comes down, then it becomes a problem. I've never seen any crews out, you know, not during the storm or after the storm, but out replacing poles regularly. You'd never see it. I don't see it anyway.
Yeah. No, I mean, now that you said it, I don't think I've ever seen it either. But it's like, it is something that they should probably check in on rather than, like you say, waiting until they fall down and in someone's garden. I'm just going to go to Dermot there for a second. Dermot, you're saying that there's so many poles down that it's more than a patch job that's needed.
Yeah, I mean, there's about 60 or 70 poles, probably even more in some of the runs that have come down. So those poles have to be replaced.
Yeah.
Then they have to set properly in order to be able to put the tension of the cables on them. It's not easy. The checking of electricity supplies is done regularly by ESB. The main network is done by helicopter, taking thermal image of the line. And transformers are done with thermal image as well. When you get a hot spot, that place needs to be investigated. They do that. And they do replace poles regularly.
Oh, they do.
So
okay.
Am I there?
Yeah, William, you're there. Yeah.
They obviously don't do a visual check on the ground, whatever about helicopters. But, I mean, I can take you down roads where the telegraph poles at 45-degree angles for the last 10 years. So, I mean, it doesn't take an expert to know that that is a health and safety hazard. And so what if the new poles have to set for a while? Let me finish. So what if they have to set for a while? We don't need to dig up every road in the west of Ireland to put down cables, you know. All we're asking for is people to do their jobs properly. That's all we're asking for from the top down. That's what I'm saying.
Have you reported that pole that's been on its angle for the last 10 years? Have you reported it?
Have I reported 60 or 70 poles that I see on a regular day?
Yes.
No, I don't report.
They will appreciate it. Please do. Please help them. Help them do the job. They are up to their eyes at the moment. The reason we didn't get the French or the English or the Welsh or Scottish electricians over straight away, they also have to deal at home with this problem. Now, a lot of their problems might not be as bad as ours because they might have more underground.
That is a good point, though, Dermot, that they were having storms in their countries as well. So that is another good point, because a lot of people have said we should have had help earlier on.
We sent the EFB over to help out in the UK and in France and Spain, Germany. We do send them over when we can. We obviously give our own customers their priority. And when they become free, they'll release lads to go over and help out.
So, Dermot, I'm assuming that you work for the electricity network.
No, I am an electrician, all right. The reason that they're seeing fluctuations in power in normal circumstances is over the 10 years, how much building has gone on. You know, if you go back to when Sandyford Industrial Estate was being built, they were only allowed to go up to the first floor. Because there wasn't the power supply around for it.
I hear what you're saying, but if they are going to be doing the building, then the supplies should be upgraded and updated as the extensions are being done, as things are being built. We need to grow with the times, and rather than relying on an old system that's not fit for purpose.
Yeah. I don't think there's any point in blaming the politicians or the ESB for these outages at the moment. I think it's something.
It's not about blaming anybody. It's not about blaming people about the past. Forget about the past. We're looking to the future. We're talking about protecting our country, protecting our people before the next storm. We don't need this brushed under the carpet again, you know, until, you know, we're going to have deaths on our hands. Like, so it's not that simple, you know.
Of deaths, I mean, hands off to everybody who's been involved with this storm. We only had one death in this storm. A poor, unfortunate guy caught in the car. Okay,
you can
ask the question, why was he out? You know, red warning for the whole country. He shouldn't have been out. He was caught out in it, fair enough, but no.
Well, that was a tragic situation. I'm not too sure on the details.
My sympathies are to the whole family and everything like that. But all I can say is thank God we didn't have many more.
Yeah, and this is what we're talking about. And I think this is what, like William is saying, is that we need to put things in place and be pragmatic. Now, he's not saying that the government should really be, you know, reconvening all of that sort of stuff. He's saying to be pragmatic and put things into place so we could be prepared within the next 12 months if we were to have a storm. Let's say we were going to have another storm in 6 months' time. It's to put things in place that would make sure that we didn't have the same fallout. Basically,
you won't get it quite that quickly. It is going to be a couple of years before you get a fail-safe system up and running for the whole country on that. We need to turn around to Europe and say, look, we appreciate we've got to reach all these targets and everything like that, but we've got to put them aside for the next few years because we've got to get the priority of keeping people safe and put the money into getting everything done, getting the generators into the sewage stations, the water stations, getting upgrading supplies. I mean, Sandyford, the reason that there's so many tall buildings now, we've had major projects done. We've had the Dart, that got massive substations around the place. Dundrum Town Centre got a massive power station. Beacon Hospital, Central Park, Leopardstown. These are all places that added greatly onto the network to give them more power to be able to give out to people.
Okay. And so you're saying that anything that we want to put in place would take a couple of years to put in place?
Yeah.
William, what do you say to that?
Well, I think all of the places he's just mentioned there aren't, like, I suppose, red storm alert areas where there's going to be massive damage done to infrastructure, be it the phone lines, the telephone lines and so on. So the west of Ireland, like, has been neglected. I really need to, I think going back to my initial point of empowering and funding our county councils. To put more, to give more support, have more teams and more crews out there to have... Yeah. Even to have a special crew out there all weekend to be able to call to people's homes and see, you know, people who would rely on, elderly people who would rely on emergency buttons and all of that. You know, like a community support team that wouldn't be handling the taking the trees away and all that kind of stuff, but actually checking in on people. Now, I know we've been reactive with, you know, this assistance scheme that's out now, you know, and you can get, it's not means tested, and you can get, I don't know, a few hundred euros for clothes and food and whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, in the midst of all this mayhem and madness and upset, it's very hard for people to straighten their minds on, you know, making an application for that and going through the process of getting it and all that. You know, we shouldn't have to get that to that point. But I'd be really keen on more of a kind of a community support network as well, to be able to check in on people. Because and I'll finish on this, is like, you know, I really feel we're going to get to the point. I thought it was going to happen this weekend. Sorry, I hate to think terrible things, but that we were going to come upon people in a house, you know, that, you know, and please God, it doesn't happen yet.
I know what you're saying.
People who have been forgotten about, if
I
you know what I mean.
I don't think anybody can argue with what you're saying about having, you know, more community work going on by the local council and making sure that everybody's okay. And Dermot, I don't think you could argue with that either. It's a fair point.
No.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
If anything, it's what Ireland's great for. Keeping an eye on each other, you know.
Yeah, and I hope that people are keeping an eye. And I think that what you said is, it's very true. And I hope that people have heard you and people get the message to go and check on your neighbours, check on people. You know, if a house looks a bit dark, go and, you know, have a ring on the bell and go and just make sure that everybody's okay. And I mean, if this is going to go on for another few days, it's just going to be longer and longer, and more time that people are spending in their house, and they're cold and they don't have food perhaps. I just think maybe this could be a wake up call for people to check on people. So thanks for bringing up that point, William. Thanks, William, and thank you, Dermot, so much for your time this evening.
Can I just have...
Go ahead, Dermot.
About 50 years now, we've listened to what we wrote off as nutcases initially, getting out about climate change and planet warming up and everything like that. We've had all the warnings. We're not going to get it before the next storm. In fact, we've had storms since Storm Owen that would cause major disruptions to power around the place. We haven't had the break yet, so it's still going on. Like I say, it's going to take a couple of years, but we need to tell the likes of the EU and other people that we're committed to helping out with. We've got to look after ourselves first on this one.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.